Just a couple of things before we get started with the lesson this morning. Two of those who had surgeries this past week are here this morning. It's very good to see Mike Ross with us, out with us this morning, and Denise out with us this morning. Answered prayers for those surgeries and continued prayers for progress for both of those people and for others as well. I want to say something else too, just real quickly, kind of a personal thing, but in just a few weeks, Susan and I will have been here 10 years, and one of the real joys of being a member of this local congregation is having the opportunity to watch people grow and develop in their faith, and there are lots of examples of that, but I'll focus on just very quickly, I'll focus on the college students. It is thrilling to especially to see college students come to Bowling Green as maybe freshmen or transferring from another educational institution. And they're here for one or two or three or four or maybe a few more years. And to watch them grow spiritually while they're here, to watch them increase in confidence, to watch them increase in faith. And we've had two examples of that, and I don't want to embarrass these young men. I don't mean to embarrass these young men, but I wish everybody could have been here Wednesday night to hear Connor Brown's words to us after the Bible classes were over, as he admonished us, taught us, and then extended the invitation. It was so incredibly powerful and profound. And I was just so proud in the good way, in the right way. I was so proud of Connor. As a matter of fact, I've asked Connor to send me, if he will do that, to send me the outline or the notes of what he said. And I'm gonna email it to everybody I know. And I'm gonna encourage Connor to work that into a sermon. Because what he said needs to be preached. And Connor's one of those young men who's been with us for a while, and it's just been a joy to watch him grow. And David Deloge this morning, another one of those young men who came to us, I think, as a freshman, and has been here, and we've seen him grow in confidence, and we've seen him grow in faith, and just the exemplary job that he did in instructing us and encouraging this morning about our giving, and focusing our attention on what we were doing when we took the Lord's Supper. Thank you for that, David. These two young men are just two examples. I could tell stories like that of so many others, but just two young men who are examples of imitating Jesus. Jesus grew in wisdom, and he increased in stature, and he grew in favor with both God and men. So it is such a joy to see our young people growing and developing in that way, and especially spiritually. For several months, we've been working our way through different lessons on the book of Proverbs. This is the last one of that series. I don't know. There might be, people might react lots of different ways to that statement, but I really don't have any intention of continuing this particular study. That doesn't mean that something might not come up from Proverbs that I would use. But this summer has been a real joy for me to go back to the book of Proverbs, and think about the wisdom, think about the instruction, think about the knowledge that is found there. And I want to do one more lesson, from the book of Proverbs in this series. And the title of the lesson is Be Cool, as Luke has already informed us. That expression, be cool, can mean a lot of different things. And it can mean different things depending on the context, but it is an expression that is found in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27. Solomon says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." In modern times, the word cool can mean, at least it used to mean this. I don't know if it still means this or not. But it used to mean an effort to dress and to talk and to act and to be involved in activities that other people would observe, and they would think there's something special about that person. That person is cool. And that's what you really wanted. You wanted somebody to say that about you. You didn't want to say that about yourself. but I've heard people say it about themselves. I doubt seriously that that's what Solomon meant when he said, he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. He's not talking about that you know just exactly how to dress and all the combinations and your haircut and the language, you know, the phrases that you use. He's not talking about that kind of thing. In English, the word cool can also be used in a little bit different context. As a matter of fact, completely opposite. Have you ever had somebody say to you, cool down? Cool down. And what do we mean when we say that? If you say that to somebody, you need to cool down. Or if somebody says to you, you need to cool down. Well, they're talking about the fact that you probably lost your temper. You've gotten angry. And interestingly enough, in Greek, the word for anger, it is a word from which we get our English word thermal. It can, you know, being angry means getting hot. And so sometimes we would say to someone, or maybe somebody would say to us and need to say to us, you need to step back and just cool down a little bit. Well, I don't think that's exactly what, again, and that's, both of those are legitimate uses of the word cool, but I don't think that's what Solomon meant when he says to us that he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. So what does it mean? What is Solomon telling us? When he says that among all the things that he's teaching us in the book of Proverbs, the importance of wisdom, the importance of knowledge, the importance of understanding, what does he mean when he says to us that we need to have a cool spirit? This is not a dictionary definition of that term, that Hebrew term, but this is what Kyle and Dalich say about it in their Old Testament commentary on the book of Proverbs. Kyle and Dalich say that when he says be of a cool spirit, he's talking about a dignified spirit. A composed spirit. It is a quiet seriousness proceeding from high conscientiousness. I should have found another definition that didn't have such big words in it. And maintaining itself in self-control. Dignified, composed, quiet, serious, conscientious, self-control. When you look at the word, when you look up the word in a concordance or in a word study book, all of those words are used to define exactly what's being talked about. And I think it's interesting in the text in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27 that he ties it together with restraining words. He ties it together with what we say. When you think about being dignified or composed or quiet or serious or conscientious or in self-control, when we lose that, doesn't it very often manifest itself in what we say? And we lose control of the tongue. We've already seen this. We did a lesson on some of the things that the book of Proverbs says about our speech. And one of the passages we looked at was Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. It's almost the exact same expression that's found in our text about restraining our speech, restraining our tongue, restraining our lips, that is found here in Proverbs chapter 10. And it is a New Testament principle also. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. James chapter 1 and verse 19. I don't think that what we say is the only thing that is associated with having a cool spirit, but again, I think it's not just a coincidence that Solomon paired those things together. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. What I want to ask us this morning, and I want to just make a few suggestions from the scriptures, but what I want us to do really is ask ourselves, do I have a cool spirit? Can that be said about me? That generally speaking, I am of a dignified, composed spirit. Quiet seriousness, proceeding from high conscientiousness, maintaining itself in self-control. And what would be some of the things that would be characteristic of me if I did have a cool spirit? I want to suggest, I think there are seven of these, and I'm not going to spend any significant amount of time on any one of them. I just want to lay them out there. One who has a cool spirit, that dignified, composed spirit, that spirit that most of the time, to the best of our ability, is in, that we have control of, self-control. And of course, the one we've already mentioned, the one we've already talked about, is that they restrain words. So much we could say about the tongue. Psalm 39 and verse 3, I thought, in connection with what Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27 says. Psalm chapter 39, the 39th Psalm in verse 3, my heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. And there's that idea of, you know, thermal, that idea of getting hot. And look what ended up happening. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. That's not good. That's not good. He's not saying that in the 39th Psalm in the context of, well, what cooled me down, what made me better was I started talking. Exactly the opposite is true. A cool spirit, somebody who has a cool spirit. I was really tempted to say somebody who's cool. But I think I'll stick with cool spirit. Somebody who has a cool spirit restrains words. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Paul tells Timothy, younger preacher, Paul tells him in the work that he was doing to remind those Christians among whom you are working, remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. How many times have we been in discussions with other Christians? How many times have we been in Bible classes where it devolved into a quarrel about words? And Paul tells Timothy, you can't let that happen. Charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What we say is going to have a big part in determining where we are in eternity. What we say is going to have a big role to play in whether or not God says, come be with me in heaven in eternity, or depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into outer darkness. What we say, if that's true, and it absolutely is, wouldn't it just logically follow that less is better? Fewer words would be better. Restrain words. Somebody who has a cool character, a cool spirit, restrains words. But again, I think it's more than that. I don't think Solomon intended for us to take Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27 and say this is all that is involved in having a cool spirit. Because again, if you look at the text passage in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27, he says, a man who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. So what are some of the things that a man who has, a human being who has understanding, a person who has understanding, what are some of the things that they are going to understand? They're going to understand about themselves. That's why Romans chapter 12 verses 1 through 3 was the scripture reading. More often than not, we focus our attention primarily on verses 1 and 2. Don't be conformed to the world, and rightly so, by the way. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. But in verse 3, Paul says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. What I'd like to suggest to you is that that's part of the transformation process, is learning to have a realistic view of ourselves. To not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. Remember that the word sober, according to Kyle and Dalich, was one of the ways they described what a cool spirit was. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Psalm 4 and verse 4, be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, keep a close watch on yourself. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. test yourselves, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Someone who has a cool spirit is someone who understands themselves. They are aware of self. They know themselves. And really, other than God, you are the only one who can absolutely and completely accomplish this. It is true that in marriage, and I think, I'm afraid that sometimes we miss this point in marriage, that marriage is such an intimate relationship that it is virtually impossible to hide who you really are from your spouse. You might very well hide who you really are from the person you're dating. And you might very well hide who you really are from the person you are courting, heading toward marriage. But I promise you this, when you start living together as husband and wife, eventually who you really are is going to become obvious to them. They're going to become aware of it. They're going to know it. And so in marriage, being aware of self, knowing who we are, is an important part of having a cool spirit. What are the things that challenge me? What are the things that tempt me? What are my strengths? Really, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses in terms of my relationship with other people and my relationship with God? Let me suggest to you, number three, that someone who has a cool spirit is aware of God. Someone who has a cool spirit is diligently seeking to know God. It's not enough just to know self and be aware of self and not think more highly of self than we ought to think. We've got to know God. And so Cornelius was cool in that regard. Cornelius had a cool spirit in that sense. Remember that Luke tells us that Cornelius said to Peter, when Peter asked, "Why have you sent for me?" Cornelius said, "So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God, and you've got till 11:30 to tell us what we need to know. But listen, at 11:30, we start getting hungry. The kids start getting fussy. We've got to get on the road." Listen, I promise you, every preacher loves Acts chapter 10, verse 33. What did Cornelius really say? "Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by God." You understand that's basically Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts chapter 1, right? Tell us all of it, Cornelius said. That's why we're here. We're here to learn about God. We are here in the presence of God. Years later, in Acts chapter 23, when Paul is standing before the council, he expressed or displayed a cool spirit. Looking intently at the council, Paul said, "Brothers, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience until this day." He's not only aware of self, he's aware of God. I know my own heart. I know my conscience. I know I've lived in good conscience. But he doesn't leave it there. "I have lived my life before God in all good conscience up to this day." Again, what does it mean to be cool? What does it mean to have a cool spirit? It is somebody who is aware of God and is seeking to the best of their ability to know God. Let me suggest to you, number four, that somebody who has a cool spirit is very much aware of potential dangers. I love this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. Beginning in verse 6, where the Apostle Paul says, "So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober." And there's that word sober again, connected, according to Kyle and Dalich, with the idea of having a cool spirit in our text in Proverbs chapter 17. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. And you understand that this is metaphor. This is not Paul saying it's wrong to sleep. And I intend to honor that by trying to get a little nap in this afternoon, as a matter of fact. It's talking about being aware. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Someone who has a cool spirit is aware of the dangers. The worst thing that can happen is for us to get confident and arrogant and think that we are beyond Satan's reach somehow. It's exactly at that point that Satan has us right where he wants us. As long as we are drawing breath, as long as we are on the top side of the ground, as long as we are living in this world, there are always going to be challenges, always going to be dangers. And somebody who has a cool spirit is aware of those dangers. And the reason is because somebody who has a cool spirit wants to be near God, desires to be near God. And so James says in James chapter 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. See, that's exactly what Peter had said to do. To be aware of, to resist Satan. Walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. James says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then look what he says in verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The closer you are to God, the harder it is for Satan to get to you. The closer you are to God, the more difficult it will be for Satan to successfully tempt you back into a relationship with the world. Somebody who has a cool spirit wants to be as close to God as we can be. And let me say something here. This is an editorial comment. But let me say something. If you think closeness to God, if you think you're close enough to God just because you come to a church building and attend an assembly like this maybe once or maybe twice or maybe even three times a week, you are in danger. You're not aware of the potential dangers. It's an important part of getting close to God, assembling together with other Christians to worship. But it's important that we be doing everything we can when we're not together with other Christians, when we are in the world, when we are at work, when we are up on the hill on campus or in school somewhere. It is so important for us to be doing things that draw us near to God. You make an effort to draw near to God, James says, and he will draw near to you. Somebody who has a cool spirit is trying as hard as they can. As a matter of fact, I'll say this, and this is by way of editorial comment too. Somebody who has a cool spirit recognizes that the most important thing, their number one priority in life is drawing near to God. Their number one priority is not getting a degree. Their number one priority is not getting a promotion. Their number one priority is not buying a house, having a car. Their number one priority are not human relationships. And please listen carefully to what I'm saying. You didn't hear me say that any of those things were wrong or that any of those things were unimportant. But somebody who has a cool spirit understands that we can't let any of those things keep us from drawing near to God. Let me suggest to you, finally, that somebody who has a cool spirit has that self-control. And again, remember that Kyle and Dalich included that as part of their description of what Solomon meant when he talked about somebody who has understanding is a man who has a cool spirit. What does it mean? I said that's the last one. I'm sorry. Boy, I wasn't trying to trick you. There actually is one more. This is the next to the last point. Is in control of self. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Somebody who has a cool spirit is working as hard as they can to be in control. Controlling their desires, controlling their emotions, controlling their tongue, which is part of the verse. Walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to mislead you. This is the last one, I think. No, I'm pretty sure. That somebody who has a cool spirit keeps the goal in clear focus. The end of all things is at hand, Peter said. Therefore, be self-controlled. Listen, I wonder if Peter even had Proverbs 17:27 in mind. We know he spoke by inspiration. But without using the phrase cool spirit, Peter repeats almost verbatim what Solomon said in our text. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Why have a cool spirit? Because the end of all things is at hand. The goal is to get to heaven. That's why Jesus died. That's why he came. That's why he lived a perfect life. That's why he died. That's why he was raised from the dead, to make it possible for us to have fellowship with God, to serve God, to please God, and to get to heaven, to be in heaven with God in eternity. One who has a cool spirit is keeping that goal in clear focus. Well, be cool. I just have always thought that Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27 was an intriguing passage. And maybe primarily because the word cool can mean so many different things in so many different contexts. Listen, if the word cool is still used, and you will inform me about this, I'm sure, later on. If the word cool is still used about trying to be liked, trying to be popular, trying to be with it, I'm sure that expression is not still used. And hip, trying to be hip, that takes me back decades. I think probably most people want that, right? I mean, but most people want to be liked. I knew somebody one time. I'm not going to name any names, but I knew somebody one time. He was 3 or 4 years old, and I just happened to be with him, and he was lying on the floor. He had a pillow, and he was lying on the floor in his underoos, probably. And he looked up. I was sitting in my recliner, which all the grandkids know that's Pop's chair. And he looked up at me. This wasn't one of my grandchildren. He looked up at me and said, "Dad, you know." And it wasn't David, by the way. He said, "Dad, you know, it's really a shame that people don't know what a super cool dude I am on the inside." 4 years old. I want to be a super cool dude on the inside. I want to have a cool spirit. I want to have a cool spirit. I want to be working to get to heaven. I'm going to end with two passages from the book of Ecclesiastes, written, I think, by the same inspired person who penned Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27. I want to have a cool spirit. I want you to have a cool spirit. But we need to know that it's not easy. It's not going to be easy to have a cool spirit. So Solomon says things like this throughout the book, and this is just a sample. But he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1, "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what they are doing, or they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." Again, very similar to what he said in our text in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27. And why is that important? Because the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Why is it that we want to have a cool spirit? Because of Proverbs chapter Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The primary goal, the most important thing, the whole duty of man, fear God and keep his commandments. Why? Because God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Do you have a cool spirit? Are you striving to the best of your ability to be the kind of person who's trying in their lives to honor God and to be in heaven with God in eternity? If you're not a Christian, then you need to become a Christian. If you know what you need to do, then this is an opportunity for you to obey the gospel, to confess that you believe Jesus is God's Son and repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, if you're not sure about that, if that doesn't sound right to you, if that doesn't sound like something that you've heard before, or if you just like to know more about what the Bible teaches about what a person needs to do to become a Christian, please, please give us the opportunity. After services are over today, tonight, sometime during the week, soon, to sit down with you and open our Bibles and learn exactly what God expects us to do in order to become Christians. But if you're here and you know, then this is a wonderful opportunity for you to become a Christian. The invitation is for those who need to come back into a right relationship with God, who might have wandered from the faith. Perhaps you need to confess public sin. Perhaps you need to ask for prayers of encouragement and comfort and assistance and help. But the invitation might be for you as well. If you're here and you are subject to the invitation, the song that's been chosen is number 200. Luke has chosen is number 274. I really appreciate Luke leading some of the older songs. Where is he? There he is over here. Some of the older songs this morning. I love the new songs. As a matter of fact, some of the newer songs have really impacted me very profoundly. But I don't want us to lose these older songs. And this is one of those songs that I remember. Luke talked about remembering when he was a boy and singing 10,000 Angels. I remember singing this, standing by my mother or sitting right in front of my mother and singing softly and tenderly. And we're going to sing the words to this song to try to encourage you to think about your spiritual condition and to give you a few minutes to make the decision to respond to the invitation. If you're here and we can help you, please come down to one of these front seats. Do that right now while we stand and sing. We invite you to come.
Softly and tenderly.